With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this Trinity Sunday, our worship begins on page 167 of the Lutheran hymnal. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 507, 828, 644, and 803. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is the Supremacy of Christ and is taken from Matthew 28. The radio broadcast this morning is dedicated to the memory of Albert Lubert, beloved husband, father, and grandfather. We thank his wife, Carolyn Lubert, and family for honoring Albert's life this way. May your kindness enrich the lives who listen to the broadcast and hear God's word. Blessings.
Well, good morning. Great to see you all here again to worship our great God together on this Trinity Sunday, actually. And this is the one time a year that the church designates to specifically teach and confess the specific doctrine of the Trinity, of God in three person in perfect unity. That is the God we worship. One God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with that, we are going to later on in the service be confessing the Athanasian Creed. As you'll notice, it's kind of long, but we'll get through it, and it's going to be wonderful. It does take a lot of words to confess the Trinity, this complex belief, because God is eternal. He is magnificent and mighty. He's infinite, and so it's hard to convey all of that with just a few words, and so that's why the Athanasian Creed has proven so long, but it's been confessed and been handed down to us for generations since the early church, and so that is why we confess it this morning later on. We begin with our opening hymn, number 507.
Thank you.
feeble. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Dear friends, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading for this Trinity Sunday comes from the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, and which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day, over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with its seed and its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it is so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This morning we confess the Athanasian Creed in response. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And let there are lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-eternal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages. And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again from their bodies and give an account according to deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 828. know, 2020 has been one crazy year. And it's hard to imagine that so far we are only halfway through it. Within the past 5 to 6 months, we've seen a country in apparently absolute turmoil. At the beginning of this year, we first watched as the country divided itself over the presidential impeachment. Believe it or not, that was still this past calendar year. And yet it still seems so long ago, and whether you were for it or against it, the outcome only splintered and divided the country. And then, seemingly without pause, just moments later, we were then hit with this worldwide pandemic. No one was allowed to go anywhere. For 2 months, businesses were closed, parks were closed, vacations were canceled, farmers were unable to move milk and hogs, and many couldn't even leave their property. Many others have not been able to have people visit or even see their family. And right when things were trying to get back to some new normal, whatever that may be, we then saw this tragic event that got national news coverage. You literally can't make this stuff up. It's just chaos after chaos. And somehow, even this story has proven only to divide our country even more. Over the past week, we've seen hundreds of protests pop up around the country, and they all share the message that I think the vast majority of people and of the country already agrees with. I don't think very many people actively deny that Black Lives Matter, and I may be wrong, but I pray that that is especially true in the Church of Christ. Because we believe, teach, and confess that we are all created equal before God and in His image. We are all brothers and sisters, and we share in one common ancestor. And we all, regardless of race, sex, nationality, social status, or any other difference that might divide us, we are equally cherished by God. The Son of God died for all of us. We are all valued and loved by a gracious Heavenly Father, and those inside the church are called to love all people, and especially to care for those who are less fortunate. And personally, whether you like the phrase Black Lives Matter, or if you would otherwise prefer to use the phrase All Lives Matter, it seems like most people can still agree that racism is against God's law. But at the same time that all these protests rose up about Black Lives Matter, we also witnessed more extreme actions take place. People have vandalized, rioted, looted. We've seen churches and stores burn. We've seen police officers using excessive force on multiple occasions. Businesses have been ransacked and picked clean. The government, police officers, and the people have not been able to unite this country. And instead, we're just jumping from tragedy to tragedy. And frankly, if it weren't for the truth of God, or for my faith, or for my hope in the name of Jesus, I could see this past year totally devastating people's spirits. The world seems to be on fire, both literally and figuratively, and our country appears to be in turmoil. But if you were to take a step back and look at how we've just jumped from one chaotic thing to the next, you'd probably be led to wonder, who's in charge? And dear friends, it's the answer to that question that causes so much fear in this world. Who's in charge? If you answer that question wrongly, then of course you are going to be led, like so many others, to fear and outrage. If you answer that question wrongly, it's going to cause overwhelming anxiety, and there's going to be horrendous division among those in the world. So who's in charge? If your answer is a man, then your hope is already lost. If your answer is a fellow man or a mere mortal, then of course I'd expect to see you marching and rioting down the streets. If your hope is in man, of course I will see you in the major cities demanding power. If it's people and human beings who have all authority under heaven, then of course you would want autonomy. You want freedom to overthrow the current governing establishment. Because if you believe that man possesses all authority and is actively ruling over you, then you have no peace in this life. And that is self-evident. For even though we live in the most free and prosperous country to ever exist, yet if people believe that man is in charge, they show themselves still to be terrified. And rightly so. If President Trump was in charge, I'd be worried. If Democrats were in charge, I'd be worried. I'd still be frightened. And if Republicans were in charge, I'd still be concerned. You could name any person or any group of people to be in charge, and that would still give me reason for concern. Whether it's Anthony Fauci, the doctor who was on the coronavirus task force, whether it's police officers or their commanding chiefs, whether it's the president or any political party, even if it was the church herself that was in charge, it would still give me reason to fear. Because whether they are inside or outside the church, man always proves sinful. Man is foolish, self-interested, self-preserving. If man is in charge, or if the world even believes for a moment that man is in charge, the world will run into chaos. Because man will always prove to fail. They will always lack both the power and the sacrificial love to rule perfectly. And so there will always be injustices to be overcome. And so people have their hope in man and in government. They will always fight to overthrow the governing authorities. Whether they're politically to the right or to the left, they will fight for politics because that is all they have to hope in. And if they lose politics, they lose peace and that fleeting sense of worldly salvation. It's as if people aim to establish a utopia in this life through the works of man, just proving that politics has become an idol for so many people. But I want to draw your attention to our short gospel reading this morning, because Jesus says here, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And he goes on saying, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe, teach them to guard, teach them to keep, protect, cherish, and treasure all that I have taught you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This passage speaks hope directly to our lives this morning. For we see all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ the Lord. He says all. Man is not autonomous. Man is not alone. There's nothing in this life that the Lord doesn't have authority over. We aren't left to our own endeavors to live and to make our ways around the earth. For Jesus has promised with his unbreakable word that he is with you even to the end of the age. And he has all power and all authority in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. This is a teaching of Christ that, when taught accurately, brings hearts consolation and peace. The word of God brings joy and rest to our souls. And oh, how we should long and cherish the thought that authority belongs to God and it does not lie in man. Many people have made, again, politics their idol. It's as if they believe that new laws and new policies will bring forth eternal goodness. And so they look to political parties or to men or to new legislation to always be the salvation for their lives. Now, granted, new laws can do good and can cure much injustice, but it is Jesus who brings life and brings life abundantly. Look again at Matthew 28. All authority, again, Jesus says. Dear friends, do you not rejoice in that simple phrase from our Savior's lips? All authority has been given to me. how nothing should make us rejoice more. For these words are sounded forth from the Christ who loves. These words come from the compassionate mouth of God himself to the ears of fallen man. While we were yet sinners, Jesus loved us and has established all authority under his reign for you. Is there any power that you wish our Savior didn't have? Would you ever try to keep from him any area of authority? Is there any power that you would prefer to grant to somebody else? Let our hearts flee from such nonsense, and let our hearts rejoice in this matter that authority belongs to no other. And with praises and thanksgiving and with shouts of praise, this truth should be on our lips. Alleluia should be constantly resounding and springing forth in our meditations, for we know that this authority will be used rightly. For power in the hands of Christ is the most beautiful sight. Let him have the power and let him have it all. Let him do with it as he wills and let him use it as he sees necessary. For this one who claims authority can't will anything except that which is good. This one with authority has a divine eternal nature that will always lead him to act rightly, truthfully, and justly. So give him unbounded sovereignty in your life and in your day-to-day outlook on life. For it's in him that we hope. When Christ is king, let there be no limit to the king's reign. Adorn him with many crowns, that head which was once pierced with those many thorns. Put the ruler's scepter into the hands that were once fastened to that tree. And let the heart that was once speared through on the cross be given authority to rule his creation in love. Power in the hands of all others is a dangerous thing, but in the hands of Christ we see it a blessed truth. And let our hearts rejoice even further, knowing that the loving Lord has all authority. For we know then where our authority and where our hope lies. And we know on whom to call when we need such omnipotent love, justice, and grace to shine so strongly in our lives. When Christ has authority, we know exactly where to run to when we are in need or when we are in fear. God will never chastise you for going to him too often. In prayer, as we go to him, he will never question why you call upon him, even if you were to pray without ceasing. Whether you're praying over relationships or over the salvation of loved ones or over the trials of this world, God will never tell you that you come too often. For he has obligated us to come to him always, for in him lies all authority. If he were to ask, why do you come so often, then we must answer plainly, I can't help it, for in you, my gracious Lord, lies all power. If I had strengthened myself to care for or provide for my own needs, I could sustain from your presence. But Lord, you do not share your power or your authority with anyone. All authority has been given to you, and it rests solely in your hands. Therefore do I come. I must come, for I have no power in myself. Without your authority, I would starve. I must come to you for every meal. I must come for every snack and every drink. I must come for every breath and every pulse. And I must come to you for healing of any injustices I face and for any sins that I have committed. How blessed we are that the Lord has authority, for he longs to protect and to provide. And when we have concern that we aren't being protected, he does not blame us for calling upon himself. We can call upon his name to care for us in our own weakness. And he shall respond always with that same grace and mercy. For he is always there. He is there with all authority, all power, and all love, even to the end of this age. Amen. We sing our next hymn, number 644. Will the congregation please stand and join me in prayer? Almighty God, you are the maker and sustainer of the universe, and as you created the world and everything in it, so do you today continue to rule over it. For in you lies all authority in the heavens and on earth, and nothing occurs without your loving, sovereign hand at work. And so, gracious Father, we come before you this morning as beggars and as little children. We come with nothing to offer you, but we come knowing that in you lies our victory over sin. You hold our victory over death, our peace amidst suffering, and life amidst this fallen world. And Sovereign Lord, we also come knowing that you bid us to come, and that you long to listen and to answer our prayers. So hear us this morning as we call out to you, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of order and peace, as our country and the world are seemingly in chaos and without peace, we pray for your will to be done. And we pray that our governing authorities will rule rightly and for the benefit of all who live under their care. And we pray that injustices in our country would cease and that evildoers would the world would be brought to justice. We pray for those who are tired of the status quo, and we ask that you give them peace, knowing that in you lies abundant and eternal life. For those who are unequally treated in America and for those who are in need, we pray that you would lead us as your church to serve them in word and in deed. And for those who wish to do harm and to cause destruction upon others, upon the governing authorities and upon our communities, we pray that they would see the error in their ways and turn to you and find life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Trinity, as you once told your disciples to make disciples of all nations by teaching and baptizing in the name of the Holy Trinity, we pray that we would be obedient to this calling. Give us the urgency to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. In our words, in our conversations and actions, lead us to bring the lost into your church. And may the Holy Spirit be working through our lives, through our words, to convict and bring life to the fallen world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This morning we pray for the family of Albert Lubert, who had passed away a few years ago. Today the family is sponsoring and supporting our radio broadcast to help spread peace and hope and life into the fallen world. And we ask that you grant their family the gift of peace and comfort them with the reminder of your promise that all who believe in you shall live, and they are awaiting the resurrection where they will again see their loved ones face to face. We also pray for Roy and Dolores Hemme as they celebrate their 63rd wedding anniversary tomorrow. We ask that you continue to bless them and to strengthen them in love, body, and faith for many years to come. Continue to strengthen marriages around the country, and in your sovereignty, we ask that you hold the family units together for the benefit of all people. And also this morning, we give you thanks and praise for Austin and Katie Nittmeyer, who were married last night. Austin's the son of Terry and Candy, and grandson of Jerry and Kay. Lord, we pray that you would bless their marriage, give them love and compassion for one another, help them to serve each other in sacrificial love, and let their marriage be a testimony to your will and how you have designed your creation and your family units to operate. And finally, we pray for all of those who are on our hearts and minds this morning, including those who are on our prayer list. Lord, you know the needs of all of your servants, and we ask for your grace to pour out upon them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting in the Lord's promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn number 803.